We didn't want the people who work in corporate tax to feel left out. And so we've got a presentation for you on Section 1202, which is one of those areas I find people either know a lot about or they've never heard about it. But it is an amazing planning opportunity if you set it up right. We have Paul Lee back, a great privilege to have Paul Lee back. Paul, is this the second or the third time you've spoken at this conference?
It's the third.
I think it's the third, too. I was trying to remember, if you were at the other conferences, you know he's a very dynamic speaker, and we greatly appreciate your time today. He's going to talk about qualified small business stock, but let me introduce him first. He is the Chief Tax Strategist, that sounds important, at Northern Trust in the Global Family and Private Investment Offices Group. He's an Executive Vice President and Managing Director of the company. That is important. He's a Fellow of the American College of Trusts and Estates Council. He's got all these a long list of credentials that you've got on this list. He's a Cornell grad in chemistry. Oh, my. JD with honors from Emory. Practiced law for a while and then started getting into the investment advisory business and helping people structure deals with their financial planners. So I'm going to let Paul talk because I know he'll finish on time because he always does.
Because there are cocktails after this.
There are cocktails. There's a reception with the speakers, and when he finishes, I'll give you directions how to get there.
So they always challenge me to do something different each year, and one of the things that they've challenged me to do is to actually stand at the dais and not walk around. So I'm going to do my best here. So let's talk about qualified small business stock. Other than that, my title has a lot of Q's in it. Let's talk about what's really compelling about qualified small business stock, at least when they first sort of put it out or where it has evolved into. 100% of the gain of qualified small business stock is fully excludable up to certain limitations. And like 1031 exchanges, if you have a gain that you can't exclude, you can roll over those gains under a very specific code section that only applies to uneligible or ineligible qualified small business stock. And because of the way that it's written, from a planning standpoint, you can multiply that exclusion and pack that exclusion in a number of very interesting ways from a planning standpoint. Now, as was already said, in this world of qualified small business stock, I would agree. There are people who know a lot, and then the vast majority of the world knows very, very little about it. And the reason for that is historically, it has been irrelevant. Okay? First, one of the biggest issues historically to be a qualified small business stock company is that you had to be a C corporation. And instead of a one-year holding period for a long-term capital gain tax rate, by way of example, in order to get this exclusion, you had to hold it for 5 years. And of course, I know we have some accountants in the room. All of the accountants will tell you, we never, ever, ever do a stock sale. We only buy assets because when you buy assets, you get basis. And for all of those reasons, historically, and I'll show you some other things that are kind of interesting, you just didn't see a lot of buy-in on qualified small business stock. We'll go through the history of it. Qualified small business stock came into existence after my first year in private practice. And I'll tell you sort of the history about that when we get to it. And then, to make things worse, how do I say this? Section 1202, which is the code section for qualified small business stock, may be the worst written code section I've ever read. And secondly, and I think this is because of the historical context, there's virtually no official guidance on qualified small business stock. Now, if you look for actual guidance, officially published guidance by the Treasury regulations, you'll find a few sort of PLRs out there, no revenue rulings. And you go to the Treasury regulations, and this is sort of where I started my research after I read the code section.